feel like the Lord has dealt with my heart, laid a burden on it. And my desire is that the Lord would help that the words that I say would be clear, the sound of the trumpet would be clear, and that the Lord would give me boldness, because it's not easy to say things sometimes when you know in a crowd this size that is nasty going to cross the decisions and choices and lifestyles of the people in it. But we desire that the Lord would have His way and that truth would be preached. So I desire your prayers. I'm interested tonight in the 14th and 15th verses of the 8th chapter of Romans. And I'd like to look back a little bit before that. In the 7th chapter of Romans, the Apostle Paul gave a testimony of what his life was like under the law. And you Bible scholars probably realize that I know some people use some of the words in 7th chapter of Romans to justify a lesser life than what God would want them to have. There was statements made in 7th chapter of Romans, things like the things that I would do, I do not. The things that I do want to do, I don't do, and the things that I shouldn't do, that is what's what I do. And there is people that apply that to the gospel. But I want to tell you tonight, that isn't applied to the gospel. That was a law situation. That the gospel and the power of God's grace is much, much more than that. When Paul, the apostle, told those things, he realized and understood that the law had come and enlightened men to the understanding of what wrong is. It must have been terribly frustrating to a person, to people that didn't care, it hardly would matter. But to a man with deep heart convictions to God, that wanted to please God and do right, to have the understanding that he shouldn't do something and find himself doing it, must have been terribly frustrating. And binding, and he learned that the apostle testifying of that fact was saying, I wanted to do it and I couldn't do it and it frustrated me and I had a desire in my heart, but yeah, I failed all the time because I had no strength or power within myself to be able to do it and all these things and what, how frustrating and binding that was. And he also used the idea of condemnation. It was condemnation because I wanted to do so much better than I ever wanted to do. I wanted to treat my family better. I wanted to be a better man in my community. I wanted to be upright. And every time I tried to do it, I had these inward failings. Oh, the outward might have been all right, but I had feelings of grudges and I had hatred when somebody done something against me. I know that the scriptures had already taught that you should love one another. That wasn't a new concept. You should love one another. You shouldn't lie. You shouldn't bear false witness against your neighbor. You should be upright. These things were taught. But Paul was saying, under the law, what a frustrating thing it was for him to do that. And then he kind of concluded with this idea. But who shall deliver us from the body of that death? Thanks be to God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. So then there was something that Paul led into through that chapter and realizing that this is the position of those that was in the law. I think you can also pick it up in David's writings. Yes. David seemed to be at times frustrated because of his longing for that plan of God that was to come, that idea that there was something that was going to come in to people's lives that was going to not only transform their outward, but it was going to ultimately transform them inside. Totally alter them and change them. And this was the idea that's passed forth. So we'll begin reading in the 8th chapter, first verse of the 8th chapter of Romans. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So the apostle begins to introduce an idea that there is two elements, two forces, two ideas that's totally opposed to one another, that war in our being. They strive for dominance. There's two ideas here now. One of them is the idea of the flesh. Well, we're all flesh. Everyone here's got flesh. But he's not just talking about this body. This body is just a body, but he's talking about that desire. That we, without God, if God would totally pull himself back and you and I would run to the fancies of our own mind and heart, we would live a lot like animals do. We would follow the passions, desires, without any nobler, higher thought, to get and gain only that which would please ourselves. We wouldn't try to please anything else. Anyone ever fool with hogs, any? Now, hogs will just about eat anything. And you can get a bunch of them, and when you put the feed in the trough, they're not concerned about little brother. They'll eat until they can eat no more. And if little brother don't get his share, they'll starve him to death. Because the drive that they have is totally about what their survival and what they can do. That's what humanity would do.
That's right.
If God was to draw himself back, that's what he'd do. So he's introducing this concept, but there is something else. There is a Spirit. The Spirit of God. And there is no condemnation now. He's eliminating that you don't have to tonight live under the bondage of guilt. There is plenty of doctrine in the world, and like I said, you pray for me that I'd be bold. And it isn't doing the justice of a great redeeming Savior to say such things. My argument goes this way. Have you ever considered the creation of God? How big it is? It is totally, totally incredible to my mind that if you was to go out here in this yard and mark you off one square yard of dirt, and you would begin to look into it, you don't have the mental capacity to be able to know the functioning and working of all the organisms that's in it. You couldn't understand how they work and what they do. Your mind would run out in one square yard of dirt right here in Wisconsin. Now, how big is the state of Wisconsin? That starts putting our it in perspective. Look at the whole state of Wisconsin. But then I'll challenge you even farther. How big is Wisconsin compared to the whole United States? So then you get into all the aquatic life and the bacterial life and all of those things that God created in His great wisdom to make a functioning, working world. And I challenge you to think about just the United States, but really, how big is the United States compared to the world, the whole earth? What is in the depths of the oceans? Does man know? Hardly. He's still finding things that he thought was long extinct. They pop up every once in a while because he has no way of searching it out. But I'll challenge you even further. How big is the earth compared to our galaxy? You ever look out into the stars? We see the Milky Way galaxy. You see the Milky Way. You look at that. You know the Milky Way galaxy. If you was to get out of the far reaches of it, there's no way you could see the Earth. It'd be so small. It'd be like a speck of specks. You couldn't see it. They say the Milky Way galaxy is a very small galaxy among millions of galaxies that extend out through who knows. I'm challenging you to say something. Did God exhaust himself in 6 days of creation? No. He surely didn't exhaust himself in all of that. If only 6 days, what would he have done in a month? And I'm saying to you, a God that condemns sin, a God that is holy and hates sin, after that argument, tell me that he's not able to make a plan that can deliver people from sin. My heart can't conceive the idea that God would want people to live in something that utterly destroys them, that tears and wrecks homes and families, Surely he doesn't. No. And therefore he says, there is there now no condemnation in them that are in Christ Jesus.
That's right.
Because he's got the ability and power to deliver you from the filth and sin of this world. To renew your heart. It's a heart matter. It always is a heart matter. It changes your heart. It makes you different. You perceive and see things different. It makes you look at things different. I can look at somebody that's acting ugly, treating me ugly. I see it different than I used to. I used to see it as a challenge, as an animal sees it. I protect my territory. I don't see it that way anymore. I see it as a soul. I see it as an eternal being. I see it as someone that's defiled of sin and that the devil's taking advantage of. I see it altogether different. Why? Because there's no condemnation now in my heart.
Thank the Lord.
And so people war with the idea, the concept of the flesh and of those things. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free, thank God, from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Now, Brother Ivan brought this out some, but I want us to understand this, because I think it's a very important idea, that Jesus in type became sin. He did no sin. But if you remember the scripture that talked about the serpents in the wilderness, that when they come out there and these serpents was biting them, that the Lord told Moses to make an enzyme of it. Make a brass, or I think it was a serpent, and put it on a pole. And when the people would be bit by these serpents, if all they had to do was come and look upon that serpent, and they would be healed. I'm assuming that if they didn't, they'd die. That's the way it reads. That's my understanding of it. But what it took, the very thing that it took to cure the problem, was it. It's the same way today. You get bit by a rattlesnake, what do they give you? They give you serum made from the poison of the rattlesnake to counteract it. And the idea in the New Testament then comes and says, Jesus. That was a type. Do you know Jesus was actually, that was a representation of Jesus? He was the Son of God and in all purity, but He come as the violent of serpent, the poison. He become that for you and I. We wonder what Jesus' big deal was on the cross. Many people suffered shame and all that. Brother Ivan brought it out. It was much more than the suffering of the body. He suffered. He was altogether holy and pure, but He took on Him the whole body of sin. And if you and I look on it, I'm telling you, it works a cure. It works a cure. The song that we sang, number 127, says, must I in sinful bondage be? A question. Must I in sinful bondage be? Deprived of peace and liberty? When in the promise I can see the blood of Jesus cleanses. Why? Do I have to be in sin? What sin do I have to commit tonight? You see, what do I have to do? Be warned here. Got a thought, an idea, something from the Scripture, something from the Lord. Must I go on living the life of degradation? Must I go on being foul? Do I always have to fail? Do I always have to fail? Must I, in doubting, full of fear, and gloom, obscure my pathway here? Do I have to live that way? No, there is therefore now no condemnation. Thank the Lord. And it says, but, the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, naturally. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I didn't write this, but I want to bring the reality of it. This is powerful language. And it cuts right to the quick. If you follow the flesh, you'll die. In any capacity, what you do, it's got death with it. And it can't be helped. You can't change it. You can't alter it. You can't go around and say, I don't know better. This is death working if you follow the flesh. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, ye are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led of the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So I want to work with that a little bit. If you claim tonight to be a son of God, then you're led by the Spirit of God. If you're led by the Spirit of God tonight, you are a son of God. When Jesus came to this earth, he made it plain. I'm not speaking my words, but I tell you, I speak what my Father has told me. The mission that he had wasn't for his person, it was the will of God. And he made it clear. He said at one point to his disciples, "Have you been so long with me that you haven't seen the Father? It ought to be evident I don't speak my own words. I speak that which the Father has taught me. I teach you. It's come from the Father." Then when the Holy Spirit was to come, the Holy Spirit was not to testify of himself. He wouldn't come in the name of the Holy Ghost. He doesn't speak his own language. But it said he would testify of Christ. That's what he came to do. Everything that the Spirit of God does will reflect in your life as Jesus Christ. I say, I want to be more like Jesus. I was praying one time. Got under a burden for it. I hope you have too. Want to be more like Jesus. And I was praying. Didn't know what I was praying for. Asked most of the time I pray spiritual things. I'm so lacking in my understanding, and I'll get to praying about something. And I say, "Lord, I really want to be more like you." And I would pray that prayer. Well, I was praying that prayer. We had went to a meeting in Pennsylvania. We'd come back, and I like to deer hunt, and sometimes I'm successful. And when I did, we lived kind of in a country deal. I mean, I was always used to just doing what I wanted to. I'd done my own butchering. When I got through, maybe there'd be a bucket of deer bones out there, and I'd get my dog one every once in a while, and, the gate would be over the fence. I mean, I was a country boy. It's the way we did things, that kind of thing. Well, when we got home, my neighbor came over. He had been drinking a little bit, and I just no more got out of the van, and boy, here he started in. "You are unethical, and you do this, and you got those deer bones. My dog gets..." Now, my fence was, at that time, was completely fenced in. My yard was completely fenced in, and his dog was making his way into my yard through a fence, digging under or jumping over, whatever he could, getting in there, getting the bones, and carrying them back over to his, and his yard was full of deer bones and stuff. The dog was doing that. Well, all of a sudden, I get attacked by, it seemed just illogical to me that he was mad at me because his dog was getting in my trash. But he was. He was angry. He's my neighbor. I live right there in front of him. I mean, it was important to me. I mean, so he comes over and says that, and I right away said, "I'll clean it up," and I did, and I done all that stuff. But there was a lot more to life than just that. I wanted to do what's right and all that, but I'll be honest with you, I started struggling with something. Because, see, what had happened, his grandmother lives across there, and over the years, all she had to do, and she knew it, any time she had a problem of any kind, she knew she could call me, day or night. And I never hesitated one time. The phone rang. I never hesitated one time to go over there in her distress and help her. Not once. And so I'm there dealing with these feelings about somebody mistreating me and doing me. It didn't seem even logical. And I done what naturally you should do. I went and started telling the Lord about it. "Lord," I was saying, "this ain't even logical. It's not right. this guy, he's not even thinking right. And I said, and after all I wanted to do, Lord, was just good. I helped them all I could. I just wanted to do good. And I heard this voice in my heart said, that's just what they done to me. I come to this earth to just only to do good and to help them, and look at what they, and all of a sudden I was stopped in my tracks, and then there was something that came into my mind. It was a prayer that I had prayed. Lord, I want to be more like you. And the Lord let me know, I gave you the opportunity. You want to be more like me? How do you be more like me? I'll give you the opportunity to be like I am. I'll let people talk about you when your best intention was to bless and help them. And I said, well, why'd he get on to me for? I would have even went and picked the bones out of his yard if he'd have asked me to. I'd have done anything for them, but the Lord taught me a lesson right there. You want to be more like me? Yes, Lord, I want to be more like you. I find that the Spirit of God always leads you to be more like Christ. So, Lord, help us here. If you're a son of God, you have to be led of the Spirit of God. It's the ingredient. You aren't a son of God if you are not led of the Spirit of God. That's what the Scripture is teaching here. Actually, many people see the Scripture that talks about if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His, because the essence of this Scripture is the fact that if you don't have the characteristics of Jesus Christ, you're not led of the Holy Ghost. And that's basically the root of what the Scripture is talking about. If you don't have these essential ingredients of Christ, you haven't been led of the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost leading in life is to bring Christ into your life in every way. In all of its clearness and purity, that's what the Holy Ghost's all job is to do, is to bring you to the fullness of Christ. That's what He's doing. So I ask this question in the fear of God. Is your life led of the Holy Ghost? When we come to a service like this, our Church of God custom is that we believe very much in Holy Ghost leadership. We do not set a program that somebody calls all the songs, because God can work with every soul. And you may have a burning song on your heart. You call it, brother. You sing it, because it's important that the Holy Spirit leads our services. We recognize that. We do it in our ministering. We want those are, of course, and with a qualification, but we want the Holy Ghost to pick the message of the hour and the minister of the hour. Those kind of things are important to us, because we believe in the Holy Ghost leadership. But what I'm talking about tonight is not just a setting like this. I'm talking about life.
Yes.
As a son of God, I ask in the fear of God, are you sure tonight that the Holy Ghost led you to that movie house? Are you positive it was the Holy Ghost that led you into renting that movie that you watched? Because it takes being led of the Spirit of God to be sons of God.
Yes.
Are you sure that music that you like to listen to? I don't know. Yeah, I have no idea. I know what the Lord's burden is for my life, for this service. Are you sure that the Holy Spirit lead you to what you listen to, what you're willing to watch, where you're willing to go, what you're willing to say, what you're willing to participate in? I ask on the interfere of God, are you sure that the Holy Spirit is leading the elements of your life, the different positions of your life, the things that you do, places you go, the things that are important to the witnessing of God? I find it an amazing thing to me that people that want to call themselves, and I'm not the judge of that, surely it's God's, but I'm amazed at the idea of it. I want everybody to know that my Lord is Jesus. I don't want to hide it. I don't want to drop back from it, or in any way shrink back from it. I want people to know, I believe in Jesus Christ. I'm a son of God. Me and my family go a lot of different places, out, different places, stores, different places. I am amazed at the many times that people come to us and say, where do you go to church at? I never told them I went to church. Or I've had a man come to me and said, you're a Christian. Can you tell me what modesty really means? I never told the man I was a Christian. My point is, I didn't have to. It is an amazing concept to me that anyone would not want to be led of the Spirit of God into those areas that positive. Look, I know that you can have an outward form and have nothing inside. But the idea of having the total package to be able to be seen and known, that I testify in all that I do, that I'm Christ. My highest ambition. We had a little incident at home. My little girl had some bad teeth in front. They were open, and she got an infection. The infection got into her bloodstream. And she was terribly sick for about 3 straight days of high fever. That's very concerning to a parent. But I've seen God work before. He's been a rescuer to us many, many times. So we began to pray, but she was still sick. I told my wife, I said, I'm fasting. I'm going to fast until the Lord does something. So I started fasting. The Lord touched her. And I'm telling you, it was such a glory to me. But I'm going to tell you what it done. It emptied me. I can't tell you what I felt inside me. I felt so small, so little, when we come to that victory. So after all that was cleared up and all, we made an appointment with a dentist to, and we prayed, oh, the Lord help here. She's 3 years old. Oh, what would they do? What are they going to, all these things. We took her, they looked at the teeth, and the dentist said, oh, said, won't be no problem. Said, I can just clean them out. Won't even need to numb them or nothing. A three-year-old girl. 3 years old. Oh, we told her we was going to take us to the dentist. She couldn't wait to go. Just couldn't wait to go. The Lord did this for us. She got over there, and she's so little, she sat there in that seat. She just sat there. She liked everything they done. 3 years old. They said, how old are you? They kept saying, how old is she? Said, you do as good as a big girl. No, you do a lot better than the big girls do. She just sat there, liked everything they'd done. Never whimpered, never whined. Filled about 4 teeth, got them all straightened up there in front. And Linda and I were so empty of ourselves, so thankful to God for what He had done. We sat there, and I got one of the highest compliments we did that I'd ever got. And I'll say, I see it this way. I've been in my life kind of athletic. I've been able to be active and do a lot of things. And I've been, if you want to say this, it's very carnal, but I say it anyway. I've been praised that I could accomplish this and that in sports or do this activity or that activity. But this testimony that we got, I was the highest praise I could ever think to have. There was a nurse there that told Linda and I, said, I went home. We was there one day and he come back the next. And she said, I went home yesterday and I told my husband, I met the people with the best spirit today. And I was so empty and so that touched me so much. I said, oh Lord, I'm going to tell you what they saw. What they saw was a man and a woman that was so humbled. They saw the spirit of that. That's what the woman saw there. It radiated out. I knew. As I walked in, I felt that. I felt so. God had done so much for us. Lord, I'm not worthy for what you're even doing. So much of it. Are you sure tonight that what you call Holy Ghost leadership is really Holy Ghost leadership? Because it's so important to the fact of whether you're a son of God or not. You can have all kind of professions of religion tonight. You can do all kind of works and all kind of things, but if you're not led to the Spirit of God, you're not a son of God. And the leadership of God will take you every time into righteousness. It will cause you to shun evil and wickedness every time. Every time the choice is presented to yourself, the Spirit of God will choose the right. The flesh may long at times and desire for things that it fulfills itself, but the Spirit of God. Have you ever been there? Have you ever felt the Spirit of God in your life working until there may have been a certain amount of desire or something that starts ahead something, but the Spirit of God comes in and checks that thing and leads you into a different path altogether? They that are led, I'm going to tell you what the Spirit of God will lead you to. And Lord, give me boldness to do it. He'll lead you into holiness every time. He'll lead you into a place to where your life will coincide with the Lord's every step of the way. Oh, can it be possible that a man that's with physical abilities could possibly endure persecution? Somebody hits you on the side of the head, what are you going to do? I've read the Scriptures and know, and many people have all kind of outs for it. But the Spirit of God will lead true. You won't defy your conscience. You won't be condemned when you get through being led of the Spirit of God. You'll love your enemy at the end of it. He'll lead you into reproach. Folks, listen. Jesus Christ and His cross was one of reproach. All the way through. Don't ever try to take the reproach out of the cross. How many people that call themselves sons of God want to get into a place, a position, a place the world's around them, and don't want to stand up true for the Lord, but want there to be a place to take the reproach out? Many times, just the idea of what people wear is because they do not want the reproach of being called a Christian as they walk this life. I call it the highest honor, Lord, that You could ever bestow on me. May everyone see that I'm led of the Lord. I want to be known as somebody that loves Jesus for all that He done for me. So I thank the Lord for it tonight, because it says, for as many. Is it exclusive? Is there anybody that can't be? Is there anybody that just can't get there, or you're not smart enough to do it? Does it take intelligence to do this? I'm glad it don't, because that will rule me out. I'm glad that it don't. Does it take some kind of royal blood in you? No, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God. Oh, it's just the leadership of that quiet, moving, loving Spirit that works into our lives, that leads us into the ways of right, that tells us when wrong's everywhere around us, it'll speak right to our heart. It'll tell us the right way to go. The lead of that, it'll teach us to do and walk in the very steps of Jesus, because that's what He came to do. To make us the image of it. Now, what did Jesus' ability to touch the world? One man. And what a difference He's made to this world. You know, the Lord wants to transform us by His Spirit into an ambassador of Christ.
Yes, He does.
The very image. Yes. The very image. That's right. For as many. As are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. Again, that spirit there is capitalized. It's talking about the Holy Spirit, but He's talking about it in this form, the spirit of adoption. You could get an adoption papers, you could have all those things, but this was much further than just the name of it. It's the very spirit of adoption. We're sons. We're sons. And the right that this is talking about, my mind goes back, as I think of this scripture, it says, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Yes. Yes. My mind goes back to many years ago, living for the Lord. One of my daughters got sick, terribly sick. I didn't know what was wrong with her, but she was terribly sick. Night after night, several nights in a row, she was in crying, screaming, agony, pain. If you never went through something like that, it's nearly horrifying. You're begging. I finally got to the point and place. I remember right where I was at that I told the Lord, Lord, I've prayed every prayer that I know how to pray. I've come to the end of my endurance.
I don't know what else to do. I've done everything. I've begged, I've pleaded, I've fasted, I've come down. Nothing has helped. Nothing has worked. Lord, I surrendered. I just said, Lord, I'm through. I'm at wit's end. Lord, I don't know what to do. And the Lord spoke this scripture to me, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. And I want to tell you, my faith is I absorb those words, Abba, Father. What does it mean? My understanding is it was like, we call it a prefix. It went before. But it was something that a slave or a servant could not speak. Only the Son could say those words, Abba. Truly, when Jesus said them to His Father, Abba, Father, He was the only rightful heir to the words. No one else could have said it to His Father like Jesus said it. But then there come an adoption through Christ. There will become an adoption when it absorbed into my mind what the Lord had just spoke to me. Heirship.
Yes.
Rights.
That's right.
I'm a son of God, He said. Only a son can say, Abba, Father. Amen. And He said to me there at that night, in that dark and horrifying night, He spoke to me, you can cry, Abba, Father. And my faith soared. There's still a God, folks. He's real. And He works in life. And He works towards our righteousness. Towards our peace. Towards our lack of condemnation. He's trying to bring us to that place of Christ. And He did that night to me. I want to tell you, my faith soared. I said, oh, thank God for the right of a son.
Yes.
It would not be denied. And the Lord healed my daughter. Right there. And it was the peaceful night. I wouldn't trade you the world.
Amen.
For that experience.
That's right.
God visited me right there. A living God.
Yes.
They that are led. Are you willing tonight to be led? Of the Spirit of God. You think He's going to lead you in peaches and cream? You think He's going to the bed of roses? He'll lead you in tribulation. Because Jesus went through it. And He proved His character in His whole life by what He endured. Where's that Holy Spirit going to lead you? Into distresses. Oh, I love this scripture. A few years ago, my wife can testify to this. We hit a time that there wasn't a moment in about a year and a half that somebody in our family wasn't afflicted. And we got to say, and we sometimes as humans, we think if you can name it out, if you can say, I know something else is coming, then it won't, right? You defeat it by claiming you know it. It didn't work with this one. We said, oh, well, they're about better when what else is coming, and it came in anyway, over and over. But the Lord spoke a word to me. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. I forgot. I quit even saying the first part of it. It was a given. But I started saying every time there was something come, I would say, but the Lord deliver. Every time somebody else would say, oh, or ooh, or whatever it was, the beginning of it, or a wreck, or whatever it was, I said, but the Lord deliver them out of them all. The Lord deliver them. Are you willing to be led? Are you willing to be led tonight of the Spirit of God? He'll lead you away from the movies.
Yes, He will.
He'll lead you away from the worldly corruption that's in entertainments and songs. He'll lead you away from filthiness and dirtiness of mind. He'll lead you into, Lord help us, persecution. He'll lead you into the ways of righteousness and the paths of death. I thank God tonight for every trial. During that time, my little boy, Darius, playing on barefooted as he usually goes, run across an old porch. It was a treated lumber porch. Right before the camp meeting. Got a big splinter in his foot. Well, he was a real trooper to let us dig that thing out of there. We tried to get it out of there and got the splinter out. And I remember when we did it, it didn't bleed. It was deep. But not a drop of blood came out of that. And I remember thinking, oh, well, I don't like that. But we went on, a day or so later, I think it was in his near his big toe. A few days later, maybe, it was in the meeting. He come down the stairs there at the house, and he was hobbling. I said, well, what happened? And I thought maybe he sprained his foot or something, and looked. Oh, my. Looked like he had blood poisoning. All swelling up. Red lines starting to run up his legs. Lord help us. Went to service that night and had him anointed. And we went back to the house after service and got back to the house. And he was just a little fella. And his hands just swelled up like balloons. Red balloons. This infection was in him. Lines running up his legs. Oh, Lord. I've seen what the Lord can do, folks. Well, I'm telling you, every battle's still unique to the battle. God, we need you. And, oh, this is a tough one now. That's my little boy. You know what that's like. Remember laying him in bed up in the night praying. You ever pray? Oh, did I pray? I prayed. I poured my heart out. Way up in the middle of the night, and he fussed and turned. And the Lord spoke peace to my soul. I felt it. This peace come over me while I prayed. And when it did, he just calmed down, laid out. I said, thank you, God. You know what I did? I didn't have to look. I just went to bed. Got up the next morning. It's gone. Because there's a God.
Praise the Lord.
To be a son of God, you have to be led by the Spirit of God. Are you willing to put it on the line? Are you willing to say, yes, Lord. You live. It's a truth. You know, most of Christendom claim God but deny the power thereof.
That's right.
Oh, sure, it's easy to say God, but will you be led by Him? He'll lead you.
Yes, He will.
But don't try to make your own course. Don't try to plot the course that the Lord will take you on. You'll miss it every time. But He'll take you in a course. Because His ultimate desire is to make us in the image of His dear Son that He accepts. The only acceptance into His kingdom is to be like His dear Son. That is what He came to do. Was to make you and I able to go to His heaven because we're in the very image of His dear Son and made in the likeness of Him. And it reminds me of a scripture. And I'll close with this scripture. It's in the 5th chapter of Matthew. I'm sure it's a familiar scripture to it. 43rd verse says, ye have heard that it hath been said that thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despisefully use you and persecute you. Well, Lord help us. He said a lot there, didn't he? Are you led of the Spirit of God? Here we go. This is exactly where you'll take you. When you want to rise up and defend your property, your line, your things, Brother Frankie told us today, I know some of Brother Frankie's testimonies, I know what he's talking about. Challenge it to space and time. You want to defend that? You want to be led of the Holy Ghost, He'll lead you a different way. So, that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven, for He maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? The idea here to me is this. I remember hearing, reading about the salmon in the Pacific Northwest. And it's an amazing cycle of God's creation. My understanding of the courses of those salmons will come from the ocean where they have been about 3 years. And they have got rather large and matured in that time, and they will run up the streams. I don't know how they know these things, but those that study those kind of things say that that a salmon will not run up a foreign stream. I don't know how they know it. They come down as little hatchlings. But they will not go up a stream that they didn't come down. They go back to the birthplace. And they have been doing that ever since God made them to do it. It is an ancient trail. They are like their father. They are, I think we heard the term today, the DNA. It's in them. Whether they smell it or sense it, I don't know. I don't think anybody really knows. But inside their makeup, they will return. Just like their father has done is exactly what they'll do. And in the course, if you see that Jesus spoke the words only of His Father, and then the Holy Ghost speaks the words of Jesus and performs that work in our lives, it really transforms us, as this Scripture says, that ye may be the children of your Father. For you see, the devil is constantly trying to make children out of us all. What he really wants is his image in us. That's what the devil tries to do. Every word of the flesh, every thing that he tries to bring into our life, all the influence and all that he puts into the world, he puts it in there to make children out of us. That we may embrace it and have the same mind and heart, the same emotions, the same retaliation, the mind of the devil. He tries to make children out of us. But he said, you want to be, here's the pattern. If you want to be a child of God, do good. Do good. Be led. Be led of that precious Spirit that leads true every time. We're desperate for it. One of the given ideas in that Scripture in Romans is that no man can plot his own path. It's not within man to walk it, to direct his own steps. It's impossible for you and I, no matter how strong we are, no matter how much fortitude of character we've had, no matter how strenuous our raisings have been, it's an impossibility for a man to project himself by himself into righteousness. He can't do it without the blood of Christ. And the Spirit of God is here tonight to make sons of God out of every one of us. He wants us. But there is one other idea in the idea of being led. There is one that leads. True.
That's right.
But the other part is there a true follower? There is ships that must be led in by pilots. You got to follow the pilot. It's you know, you go into war, you follow the captain. There is many things. The teacher teaches the student. There must be following. But it has to be the willingness, the surrender, the yes, Lord.
That's right.
Yes, Lord, I will follow.
That's right.
I will follow you in all your leadings. And then I can, without hypocrisy, say, I'm a son of God. You pray for me.